listening to the Breakthrough Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by the message. Be sure to stick around for more at the end.
All right, so we've been going through the book of James, and we started off talking about how trials are inevitable, and they're things that you can't avoid, and it's not a matter of if the trial comes, but when the trial comes, and it's just one of those things that we don't like, and we would like to avoid it, but it's just not going to happen. And then, but we talked about we could be joyful in those times, you know, even though it's struggle, even though it's a trial, even though things may be tough, we know that we can have joy in these times, and we can rejoice in it. And but last week we discussed that just like those trials are inevitable, there's another thing that's inevitable, and that's this temptation. That in the trial you'll be tempted with things that you normally wouldn't even consider a possibility, but because you're so weak and because you're so weary and stressed and things are going just so wrong for you, you know, these things that normally wouldn't tempt you, you know, they might seem to kind of come up, and they might seem like a good idea, and you might give in to them. And in that, you know, we talked about there's three things that when those temptations come along, three things that you do, and those three things are: the first thing is you don't blame God. Whenever, you know, you're tempted with things and these things are being dangled in front of you and lured in front of you, you don't blame God, because the Bible is very clear in James there that God doesn't tempt you, and he's not going to tempt you. It's not him. So don't blame God whenever you decide to do something stupid. It's not his fault. The second thing it says that we talked about doing is look down the road. Look at the big picture. Before you give in to one of these temptations and give in to your desires, think about, it says that, you know, that when you give in to your desires, it conceives sin, and when sin's full grown, it brings forth death. Think about the big picture, the looking down the road. Just an example of this here recently, did anybody happen to see Miley Cyrus' performance at the VMAs? Yeah. Yeah. Tell me. Exactly. Tell me about it. I know. It's a good example of, at the moment when she was planning that, it probably seemed like a really good idea, and it probably sounded like, you know, like, that's going to be awesome. It's going to be really epic. We're going to have a bunch of teddy bears on the stage dancing around. People are going to have teddy bears on their backs, and it's going to be just this crazy fun thing, and I'm going to do crazy stuff, and I'm going to stick my tongue out a lot. But hindsight, I'm hoping she's saying, man, I wish I would have looked down the road at where that was going to lead, because she's getting tore up right now. She's getting eaten alive by the media and by her fans and by, you know, normal people that realize that was really dumb. And the thing of it is, that's one of those situations to where it probably seemed like a good idea in her mind, even though I can't imagine it. She probably thought it was a good idea, but hindsight, it wasn't. And if she would have looked down the road at the big picture, she may have realized that, hey, maybe we should stop, maybe a lot less of that would have been appropriate. The third thing we talked about is we got to look up. We got to look up, you know, that every good gift comes from God. That's what it says there in the text. Every good gift comes from God. And a lot of times in our personal lives, we like to hold on to things that will fade away. We like to take things that are outside of God and deceive ourselves and trick ourselves into thinking that they're good things, and that's just not the case. We need to realize that the only thing that's completely good and always good, and the only thing that will never leave us and never forsake us, and the only thing that will always love us and can't change is God. And he's always good, and he's always going to be good. That's why we got to look up, because you can hold on to something all day long that this world offer you materialistically. You can hold on to friends and family or alcohol or pornography or whatever you're holding on to. You can hold on to those things. You can, but they're going to fade away and they're going to fail you. And the only good thing is God, and he's the only one that will never fail you. So that's what we talked about. But up to this point, James really hasn't given us an action step. You know, he talked to us about why we can rejoice in trials, and he talked about this temptation, how we can overcome this temptation, but he hasn't actually told us, you know, how to get through a trial, how to get through this, what's the action step? It'd be kind of like this. If this room was on fire right now, think about that. This room's on fire, and I get on the microphone and I say, listen up, guys, listen. Everything is going to be all right. I've got it all under control. Y'all are going to say, okay, all right, Scott's got it under control. We're listening. Okay. And I just sit there. Eventually, y'all are going to say, What's next? The building's on fire, Scott. How do we get out? You're going to want an action step, you know. We've been told now that through the trials, God's in control and everything's working out. And we understand that. We had this knowledge. Okay, God's in control. Everything's going to be good. I can rejoice. But we need an action step. You know, we know that the situation's under control, but the walls are being burned around us. And we're saying, okay, we need a way out. We need an action step. We need some way to know how we get through this situation. And you know, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the action step of how we get through the situation. And James is very clear on, you know, how you handle trials. And he says to receive the word. It's that simple. Receive the word. He says there in verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive the word which is able to save your souls. But most of you are sitting there and you're saying, you know, Scott, I read my Bible. I do. I know that as a Christian, it's my job to read the Bible. I understand that it's our holy book. It's the Christian holy book, and that's what we do. We read the Bible. I get all that, Scott. But what I'm telling you is the Bible is not just a holy book. The Bible is not just a book, just like any other. Because if it was just a book, just a holy book for a religion, then what separates it from all the other religions and their holy books? You know, Islam has the Quran. That from day one, they're raised reading the Quran, and they have a head knowledge of everything that's in the Quran. You know, Judaism, you know, not Messianic Jews that believe in the Messiah, but Judaism, they read the Torah. They know the Torah in and out. That's what they do. Hindus have the Vedas. You know, they have what separates ours? And the thing of it is, ours, it's the Word of God. It's more than just a book that you follow. There's more to being a Christian than claiming to be one and knowing what a book says. There's more to it. There's a lot more to it. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You know, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, you know, how do I receive eternal life? And Nicodemus, guys, he was hardcore. I mean, in order to be of a religious status like he was, you had to know the old law. You had to know the laws in the book backward and forward. You had to be able to spit it out. You had to know exactly what was going on. You had to know every little detail about the law. And Nicodemus knew it. He spent his whole life, devoted his entire life to know everything there was to know religiously. And he was very successful. He was very good at it. And he was asking Jesus, what do I have to do? You know? And Jesus tells him, you must be reborn. You have to be reborn. And this blew Nicodemus' mind. This actually upset Nicodemus because he had controlled his entire life. He had you know, he was in control of knowing everything about this book and knowing the details of it and ins and outs and every little bit. He could quote it. He knew everything about it. He dedicated his entire life to being this religious person. And Jesus was telling him, you know what? That's not good enough. You have to be reborn. And that's what James is talking about whenever he said, whenever last week in verse 18, when he says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of God, by the word. Jesus Christ, God, on his own will, brought you forth and gave you the good gift of salvation through Christ Jesus. And he implanted it in your heart. That's what he did. He took the word, the implanted word, and he put it in your heart. And what we're saying here is, God, it's not about saying I'm a Christian and having a head knowledge about Jesus Christ. It's about having a heart knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he done and the relationship you have with him on a daily basis. It's taking the book, knowing it. There's nothing wrong with having head knowledge of the Bible. Taking the book, knowing it, but then allowing it to change who you are. Allowing it to be implanted into your life and affect your life on a daily basis. True story here. Before I became a Christian, I was at a party doing various things. And at this party, I can't remember exactly what we were doing, but we were standing around doing, you know, what you do at parties and, you know, having a good time. And my buddy, no lie, comes walking up to me, and I say walking up, he was so drunk that he couldn't even hardly stand up, and he more of like pinballed to me. And by that, I mean he hit everything on the way between him and me. He hit everything, and it was like just... He pinballed to me, and you know, and this is a direct quote. This is exactly how it happened. He said, "Dude, I can quote every book of the Bible in order really fast. You want to hear it? Hammered drunk, guys. That's what he says to me. And I'm just like, sure, why not? Let's hear it. And so he starts off, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and he did it in two breaths. He spit them out from front to back, Genesis, Revelation. Didn't even hesitate, didn't even stutter. He struggled less with that than he did actually speaking language, like talking. Like it was just, he spit it out, no problem. See, he was raised in church his entire life. He went to Sunday school every Sunday, didn't miss a service. His family was really strict and made him go three services a week, couldn't miss for nothing. And he could tell you all about Jesus Christ. He could say, I can't even say the books of the Bible in order. And he can, and y'all may be shaming me right now. I didn't do Bible drills, I'm sorry. But he could do that, no problem. Why? Because he had a head knowledge. Tell y'all something? Most atheists know more about the Bible than you do. It's not about the head knowledge. See, my buddy, he had a head knowledge. He knew exactly what it was all about. But there was no heart knowledge there. None at all. He just knew about Jesus. He didn't actually know Jesus. And there's a guy, his name's Mark Cahill. He goes and he witnesses and does things like that. And when I say witnesses, he doesn't just like pass a track out. He like is hardcore. Like he goes up to he said in one time in one of his sermons that when he goes to Walmart, he doesn't leave until he witnesses to 15 people. Like he goes up and is like hardcore, like, what do you think happens when you take your last breath? Like, and hardcore like dives into their lives and like talks biblically with them. He said he was at an event one time, and he walked up, and there was three guys, and one of them had a hat on that said International Drinking Team, and the other one was like captain, had a shirt on and said captain of the drinking team, and same basic story that I just told you guys. And he said, hey, do you guys know about Jesus Christ? And without a drop, without hesitation, these guys started to just pour out all this information, really deep stuff. He said they were like really deep and like knew all this stuff. And he said, I'm just curious, how do you know all this? And their response was, I was raised in church, man. I know all about that. These guys had a head knowledge, but their hearts were so far from God that they had the head knowledge, but there was no heart knowledge at all. And you know, there's a lot more to being Christian than having this head knowledge. You know, the problem with these guys were they sat and my buddy. They sat in church services week in and week out, and what they were hearers of the word. They were hearers. They heard the word. It went one ear and out the other, but they heard the word. But they never received the word. They heard it. They sat in the pews. They heard it week in, week out. And here's the thing, guys. Most of our churches are filled up with people to this day. They're sitting here hearing the word. But Christ calls us to be more than hearers. He calls us to be doers. He wants us to be doers. We have too many people in our churches that are just hearing the word and not doing what the word says because they never receive the implanted word. They just, it's here in one ear, out the other, or either hits this ear, bounces off the eardrum, goes back out. That's what's happening. And you know, and that, in verse 22, James tells us that those that are hearers only, that, you know, they're deceiving themselves. And that's the sad thing, guys. That should be a wake-up call to us as a church, as the Christian church, not our individual churches, but the church as a whole, that these people that are hearers only, the Bible clearly says they're deceiving themselves. Don't be deceived, guys. Don't trick yourselves into thinking, and we're going to dive into this a little deeper in just a second, but don't deceive yourselves. Verses 23 through 25, James gives us an illustration of contrasting these hearers and these doers. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looked like. But the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in doing so. So James is comparing the word of God to a mirror. He's saying when you look into God's word, it's like looking into a mirror. So, when we look into God's word, it's like looking into a mirror. You know, how are we supposed to look into this mirror? What's he talking about here? You know, if we're comparing the word of God, we're sitting here and we open up the Bible and we're supposed to look into God's word and it's supposed to be like a mirror. What does he mean here? What are we talking about? Well, this is what he's not saying. He doesn't want you to look in the mirror in the way that a guy does, us dudes. He don't want you to do that, because you know what a guy does? He walks to the mirror, you know, like, he looks at it, flexes, it's great to be me, and goes on about his day. He you like that? He looks at it at face value and says, huh, okay. What he wants us to do, he wants us to look at the mirror like a woman looks into the mirror. And this is what I mean by this. When you women go look in the mirror, y'all go to it, and y'all say, what can I change? And you begin, because you go into the, and look in the mirror with the intent to change something. That's the thing. When you ladies go look in the mirror, you have in your mind, before you even get to the mirror, something is going to be messed up and I need to change it. Am I wrong? No. Y'all do it. Us guys, we're like, hey, it's me. And that's it. But you ladies, you look at it with the intention to change something. And that's what the idea is here. When you look into the Bible, when you open the Bible, don't look at it at face value and say, okay. Say, God, direct me and show me my flaws. Show me where I need to grow. Show me where I lack. Show me this. And God, come into God's word with the intention of finding something flawed in you, because you're flawed. Finding something with the intention to change it. And you know, some of you are saying, Scott, I try to read my Bible and I try to do it, and it's just, I just can't get anything out of it. You know, it's just not for me. I listen to some sermons on some podcasts, but I try to read it. I really do, Scott, but it's just not for me. Listen up to this. This is a direct Scott Lowry quote, and y'all can put it on your social networks later if you want to. You can quote me on this. You ready? If you're not getting anything out of God's word, the Bible is not broken. You are. If you're having trouble getting something out of God's word, it's not because God's word is flawed. It's not because God's word isn't meant for you, because God's word's for all. It's not that God's word is broken. You're flawed. You're broken. You're screwed up. And it's your fault that you're not getting anything out of it. That's the problem. That's the biggest reason that we don't have any doers in our churches today, is because of something called pride. And we all are ate up with it. We all have this. We have a proud spirit, and that's what the problem is. You know, that's why we have so much fighting and so much turmoil in our churches and these kind of things, is because we have a proud spirit that is really, it's unteachable. Because a proud spirit, a proud person, somebody that has pride, they think that they already know everything there is to know. They think that if, you know, their way is the only way, their way is the right way. And if you don't like it, then tough. Then, you know, I'm me. I'm gonna do me. I don't care what you do. If you offend me, you know, I have nothing for you. It's a prideful spirit that we all have. Some of us are bigger than others. Some of us got some huge egos. But every one of us, it affects to some degree. And that's the problem, you know, when we open up the Bible, because it says that we are to look meekly or humbly into God's word. We're supposed to humble ourselves when we open it up, and we humbly receive God's word. That we, you know, when we look into that mirror, we're not looking up there all cocky and arrogant and proud, saying that there's nothing to change. We say, God, I know there's stuff to change, and I need you to change it. And if we don't have that, we become unteachable, and that's what James is talking about. I skipped some verses there. This is what James is talking about in these verses. Verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, that let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That term quick to, those are all attributes, like the opposites, being slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. That's attributes of prideful people, because they don't get their way. Well, obviously my way is the best way. If you don't like my way, I get mad about it. I get mad and I start running my mouth and causing turmoil among people. And next thing you know, I forgot, my ear's not tuned to what I need to hear. That term, be quick to hear, this is just to show you what it talks about, what is kind of illustration here. Whenever me and Heidi have our baby, whenever Bear gets here, there's going to be a time where she goes and she sits him in his crib, and she's going to leave the room, and her ear, she may be doing something else, but her ear is going to be tuned toward that room. Why? Because she's listening to see if she needs to hear anything. If she's listening for something that she needs to hear, a cry or you know, so whatever the case may be, her ear is tuned. She's quick to hear. You know, she may be doing other things, but her ear is tuned to what she needs to hear. So when he says be quick to hear, that's what he's saying. You may have other things going on, but be quick to listen to the Lord. Be quick to look at the Word and listen, and don't allow your anger and your running your mouth to cause you to tune your ear to another place and miss out. That's what he's talking about here. And that's a huge problem in our churches. That's why a lot of times we don't have any doers. We have nothing but hearers, because they don't get their way and their pride swells up and they're not teachable and they're not responsive. And I'm going to close with this. Who here has seen The Lion King? The original, The Lion King. Everybody has? If you haven't seen The Lion King, I am planning a movie night because of this. Hold up. I heard I don't like The Lion King. That's arguably the best Disney movie of all time. And no, there's not an argument there. Maybe Aladdin, but The Lion King is definitely up there. Anyway, back to my point here. I'm going to talk about The Lion King here for a second. There's a scene in The Lion King where Simba and Mufasa are up on a cliff, and they're having a conversation, have a father-son moment, and they're looking out over the Pride Lands. And Mufasa says, son, everything that the light touches will one day be yours. This is going to be your kingdom. Everything the light touches will be yours one day. And Simba, you know, sitting there, and he's like, well, what's that over there where the light doesn't touch? And he's like, those are the Shadowlands. And quickly, Mufasa corrects him and says, listen, you can't go there. Don't go there. There's danger there. There's nothing for you there. Stay away from the Shadowlands. It's dangerous. And Simba says, okay, all right. Goes about his day. But then temptation comes calling in the form of his uncle, Scar. Scar comes in. Scar knows what his weaknesses are. He knows that Simba wants to be king, and he knows Simba has a proud spirit, and he's prideful, and he's kind of one of those, you know, you don't mess with me, kind of very arrogant, very cocky. He knows that, so that's what he's going to play on. And he says, you know, he starts, you know, deceiving him and starts, you know, strategically asking him questions about the Shadowlands and starts talking about how, oh, it's dangerous and you couldn't handle it, and, you know, you don't want a part of that, and you're too young and all this kind of stuff. And what does it do? This makes Simba mad. Like this he gets mad, he gets angry, and he's like, you know, who are they to say that I'm too young, you know? First of all, he's being quick to anger here. Quick to anger. And he's mad, he's like, you know, I'm gonna be king one day, you know. Who are they to tell me I can't go over there? I laugh at the face of danger. That's what he said. He wasn't worried about it. And then what happened? He went off and started running his mouth. He was very quick to speak, to tell Nala and Zazu about it. You know, who do they think? I'm going to be king. I'm not too small. You know, I can do this. You know, I'm not worried about it. He would run his mouth, and it wound up leading him to the Shadowlands, where he ran into three crazy hyenas that almost killed him, and his father had to come rescue him. And the thing of it is, he was so quick to anger and so quick to run his mouth that his ear was tuned completely out about what his father said, and he wound up disobeying what his father told him, and it led him to destruction. How many times do we let our proud self tune our ear away from what God has told us in his word, and in turn, it leads us right to destruction? We've got to be quick to hear. We've got to tune our ear to God. We've got to be slow to speak, slow to get angry. When things don't go our way, we got to look at it, step back, and pray about it and say, God, show me how to deal with this. Because ultimately, guys, it's time for all of us to open up God's word and receive God's word and look at it like we're looking into a mirror with the intention to change something. Because like I said earlier, the Bible's not flawed. We are all flawed. We're the one that's broken. And if we're not getting nothing out of it, it's because we're prideful. And it's time, if that's you, if that's the case, it's time for you to say, God, it's time for me to step back, remove myself. God, lead me. Guide me, direct me, lead me to the cross, you know, and just shape my life in a different way completely. I want to be a doer, not a hearer only. Let's pray.
On Breakthrough Ministries, follow us on Twitter at BreakthroughMI or visit our blog at www.breakthroughministry.wordpress.com.